Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Before we kick off what the weekly reads were, I'll be covering 2 weeks, by the way, in this weekly reads. I'm going to talk about some books that I got from what I call the Farmer's Collection, because a farmer came in and sold his old collection. So the previous one was the Storage Unit, which was a gold mine. This one had some good stuff in it. It's the one that had Avengers number one that I passed on, regrettably. But let's talk about what I did get. So we got Batman 165. It's a 12-cent comic. It's got a hand coming out of a. It looks like they're in like a cell of some sort, Batman and Robin, and it's coming to pull them out, and they're investigating something. And it says, "Daringly Different: The Man Who Quit the Human Race." We got 168 Batman, which is Batman versus Mr. Mammoth in the greatest slugfest of all time, the fight that jolted Gotham City. We have Batman 172. My co-host, the Geek Brunch Retrocast, I think covered this one because I remember it. It has medieval armor and looks like they're in a museum of some sort. And he says, Batman is huddled over Robin, who looks like he's hurt. He says, Robin, speak to me. Which one of these empty suits of armor struck you down? Featuring the attack of the invisible knights. So then we go to Batman 173, which has Batman looking over like underground in a grate kind of thing. And there's like a looks like to be a hangman down there. And he has like a card of Batman. He's looking in the mirror and it's showing Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne. And he's saying, Robin, while we've been trying to uncover the secret identity of Mr. Incognito, he's discovered ours. That's what Batman says. So he's Mr. Incognito. The million-dollar scheme that shocked Gotham City. Secret identities for sale. Mr. Incognito. Then we got Batman 174. It looks like Batman is in like some kind of saran wrap paper. I don't know. It's like some kind of paper, and people have boxing gloves and are just using him as a punching bag. And they say, keep slubbing away at Batman. Either we knock him out or he conks us out for lack of air. And it says, talk about treacherous traps. There's never been one to match the airtight plastic bag Batman's caught in. However, he's going to fight or think his way out of the human punching bag. And this is extra, the on-again light bulbs, a new mystery analysis thriller. And then we got Batman 175, which is, are you shockproof? Do you dare see for yourself what's inside the mysterious room of a battered Batman is staggering out of? The outstanding answer is revealed in the decline and fall of the Batman. And it has Robin opening the door kind of thing. He says, let me have a crack at him. And Batman's saying, hold it, Robin. Don't go in that room. I was lucky to get out of there alive. And this one, if you look at the artwork, Batman's, uniform is destroyed. His cowl's destroyed. He's coming out. His uniform's in tatters, but he looks really stocky. Kind of like a Kerry Bates Superman stocky. Not Kerry Bates. Kerry Bates is a writer. It's Kurt Swan. So then we got Batman 177, and it says the prize puzzler of the year, two Batman too many. It's got three Batman. And they're like those little figurines that you put inside of one another, and they get smaller as you go in. It's got a large Batman looking over a medium-sized Batman who's holding up a miniature-sized Batman. And Robin says, I never saw the menace yet that once Batman couldn't lick. Why does there have to be three of you? And then we get into Detective Comics. Detective Comics 329, which has an elongated man story. Really nice cover. It looks very pulpish, or like a pulp cover. It looks like they're going into a cellar, and Batman and Robin are going in, and Robin sets off the trapdoor, and Batman falls through as he's holding a candlelight. It says, a new look, Batman and Robin thriller, castle with wall-to-wall danger. Then we get Detective 332. It's a Joker story and also an elongated man backup. This one says, I've got you behind bars at last, Joker. And he says, that's what you think, Batman. Watch. 1, 2, 3. Now you're inside the cell and I'm on the outside, featuring the Joker's last laugh. And we have Detective 335, which also has an elongated man story. And Robin's punching some guy in the face. And Robin's punching some guy in the background. And it says, that's the last of them, Robin. Now we find out who this ringleader of this gang is. And there's this floating head that says, I'll tell you who the head man is, Batman. It's me. And it just looks like it's a head. Featuring the trail of the talking mask. And then we got Detective 336, and it's got a witch. It might be a Halloween special. And she says, too late, Robin. I've already cast my scarecrow spell on Batman. It looks like she's turning him into a scarecrow, as he got like a rope around the witch. Featuring Batman's bewitched nightmare. And then we got Detective 338, which also has an elongated man backup. And it's featuring Batman's super-powered punch, and he's basically punching a wall and bringing it down on Crooks. Detective Comics 340 also has an elongated man backup. And you have a Batmobile on the cover, and it's coming towards Batman. And he says, my Batmobile's come alive, pouncing at me like a wild animal. And it says, featuring Batman's most fantastic and formidable foe, and the Outsider strikes again. We got Detective 342. This has an elongated man story. It's got a whole bunch of Robins watching like a TV set with Batman and Robin on him, and Robin's bumping into Batman. And it's featuring the Midnight Raid and the Robin Gang. And one of the Robins in the Robin Gang says, ha ha ha, that's the end of the Batman and Robin team. Surprise of surprises, Robin rebels against Batman, but can you identify the real Robin on this startling cover? I think he's, I don't know which one he is. I'm confused. They all look the same. We got Detective Comics 344, also an elongated man backup. This is your big exit, Batman. Go, go, go. And it looks like Batman's leaving an apartment, jumping after somebody and like falling into like a shaft of some sort as some guy lures him in. And it says, never but never has a masked manhunter clashed with such a fast thinking hard fighting foe as the crime boss, who was always one step ahead of Batman. So we got a lot of Batman that week, and then we got a few miscellaneous for collections that I'm trying to fill. We got Atom number 22. This is the first series. It says, here they come, exploding from their underworld domain, the Earth's tiniest and mightiest warriors to deal with the death blow to the hated human race. And there was only one man on Earth small enough to stop them. Bat Knights of Darkness. And it's the Atom, the world's smallest superhero. Then we got a Doom Patrol 88. And this one says, the most incredible story ever told, the origin of the Chief, the man who lived twice. And there's a guy that has Elastigirl inside of a jar, and Robot Man's in chains, and it looks like Negative Man is in some kind of iron suit. It says, I've captured all three of the Doom Patrol, and now for my final triumph, the destruction of your Chief. We got a more recent one. We got Elvira's Haunted Holidays, number one. So it's got Elvira sitting on Santa's lap, looking sexy as ever. We got another key, Brave and the Bold. This is the second appearance of the Teen Titans. It's Brave and the Bold number 60. And says, four teenage heroes in one blazing adventure. It's got Robin, Wonder Girl, Aqualad, and Kid Flash. I think it is the first appearance of Wonder Girl. We have Brave and the Bold 63, which is a team-up of Supergirl and Wonder Woman. And it says it has some weird little alien monster saying, multi-face, is saying, I've turned Wonder Woman into a kryptonite booby trap. She'll be the death of Supergirl yet. So it's a really nice cover. We got Wonder Woman 152, which has Wonder Girl on the cover, and says, Wonder Girl, look out for the ice bird. And it's got a dragon coming out of the ice, and it looks like a frozen merman. And she says, I better put it on ice, merboy, before it makes frozen fish of you. The teenage Amazon must choose between the lives of her own family, all Amazons, and Wonder Girl's decision of doom. And then we got Wonder Woman 156. This one I really like the cover. It has like Wonder Woman getting darts thrown at her on a target, and she looks like kind of like a mannequin. And it says, again, DC dares and does the impossible, unlocking the spectacular secrets of comics' golden age, featuring the fabulous Wonder Woman of fantastic battles with unique villain who is as elusive as the moonbeam, the brain pirate of the inner world. You have a DC Prize collector's tale in your hands. Save this issue. And then we go to one of my favorite TV shows. I don't have many of this. We have an issue of Dobie Gillis. And this is the many loves of Dobie Gillis. And issue number is 23. And it's a real beat-up copy, but I love Dobie Gillis, so I got it. And Maynard is saying, whenever you're ready, old boy. And then he's like riding a horse, and Dobie Gillis is with a looks like a woman that rides horses, and he's making out with her, getting ready to underneath the tree. So that looks really cool. We got Hawkman number 3, who's in his own magazine. It was the Atom and the Hawkman. Now he has his own magazine, and this was number 3. We got Metal Man number 26, which has the Metal Man fighting some robot, and it says Iron uses his head to help the Metal Man in the menace of the Metal Mods. And then we got this looks like a Jim Aparo cover, and it's Metal Man number 54, and it says you have Platinum saying, we've had it, Doc, we're cutting out. Mercury says, order yourself around for a while, sorry, Doc. So they're all quitting. And then we got 55, which says, the Missile Man returns in the ravaging reign of destruction. So we got a lot of different books. Oh, we have a few Marvel. We picked up Doctor Strange. I think it's Volume 3 or Volume 2. It's number 47. It's a 50-cent issue, and 48. And on one cover it says, Doctor Strange battles Iconin, Lord of Illusions, and then the other one it says, beginning a new area of greatness, and it's got him and Clea on the cover. It's a really nice cover, I like it. And it says, don't miss the return of Brother Voodoo. So yeah, that was a huge stack. I was trying to milk the discount, which is 50% that I had, because it was the second to the last one that I could get at 50% off, and then I have to accrue another $2,000 worth of books before I'm at that discount. So it's going to take a while to get to that. But those are the books, and I'm glad I could share them with you. I also go to another comic shop for drawer boxes, and I just bought them out. Bought another 15 boxes. Plus another like 50 hinges, anchors for the boxes. And kind of worried because they're the only distributor in Colorado Springs that carries the drawer boxes. And they're in the midst of a move because your landlord doubled their rates. And I don't know why he would do this, because when he did that, everybody's vacated except for the comic store. So he's got like nobody in there. So either he's got strategy to like tear that building down and redo something with it, or I don't know what his strategy is, but they're not going to order any more drawer boxes from the guy in Denver until they get situated in their new place, and I don't know when that's going to be. So I've stockpiled about 20, I think it's about 25 boxes, drawer boxes, that'll at least last me for a while. And I guess worst comes to worst is I'll be driving to Denver
and buying a truckload of boxes at some point, but hopefully that'll keep me squared away for a while. The other thing I wanted to talk about in this is a Blake Northcutt article. If you follow her on Facebook, she wrote a really good article, and it like captured everything I felt about that image, the variant cover that Raphael Albuquerque did of the Joker holding a gun to Batgirl's head, and then all the controversy that surrounded people getting threatened and DC finally pulling the variant cover off. I hate the fact that publishers are sometimes shackled by media, like Twitter and Facebook and bullshit like that. They should just put what they're going to put out and then let the controversy or whatever write itself out. But one thing I really loved that Blake Northcutt put in her article is she put statistics in there about sales. Like what sales were prior to the new creative team of Cameron Sturt and Babs Tarr, and I can't remember who the other writer, co-writer is. But they've dropped sales by 60%. And one of the things that we were discussing on my page when is that most of the people that complain aren't buying the damn books anyway. So it's like they're the vocal minority. I would just let them shut the fuck up and just do what you want. And then what happens, happens. It's your creative decision to do what you do and whether it sells. I'll tell you right now, that cover would have sold a lot. And it would still be selling a lot, I think, on the speculator mark just because of the controversy. But if I was DC, I would have went through with it. Because if anybody knows the history of Batgirl, just like the Starfire thing, if you go see pre-52 Starfire, she's always having sex, man. So where do these people come out from? When they watch the cartoon, you know, Tiny Titans, and expect things to be different? It just aggravates the shit out of me. Just don't read it if you don't want to. You know, your opinion, you can state your opinion, but don't threaten to threaten somebody for doing something that they want to do or an image that they put out. It's ridiculous. But that's a really good article that Blake Northcutt put out there. I really liked it a lot of details. And a lot of good things on sales, like how much that decision to go with the new creative team cost DC Comics. Like she did the math on all that, and it was a lot of money. So I'm kind of biased because I think Gail Simone writes such a good Barbara Gordon, whether she be Batgirl or whether she be Oracle. And this latest incarnation, I still read, and I'm not going to stop reading it. It's entertaining. It has its moments, but it reads like an Archie book, and I read Archie for Archie. I don't read Batgirl for Archie, but I will continue to read it, and I don't hate it. I just find it like, it's like reading an Elseworlds to me. It just doesn't seem in canon. It really doesn't. It seems really bizarre. But the last issue ended up on a cliffhanger that I'm really interested in because there's been some guy that's been messing with her photographic memory, and I want to see what happens with that. But that's what I had to say on that. I also went to go see the latest Deadpool, and you know, a few of people that know me know that there's a couple of properties that people absolutely love that I don't like. One of them is Doctor Who. I've dipped my toe in so many times, and I just don't like it. It doesn't appeal to me in any way. And I can't see myself getting into it. I've tried it. I've tried every kind of doctor, and I just don't want to watch it. Don't want to read it. Same thing with Transformers. Every time I dip my toe in, the only time I've got in is when Tom Scholey draws them. It's because it's got like a Kirby look and a fun look to me. And that's why I enjoy it. And there, you know, it's G.I. Joe and Transformers, and I've always liked G.I. Joe. At least, not always. Came on the G.I. Joe fairly recently. like in the 2000s, I think, or whenever IDW relaunched it. I didn't have too many G.I. Joe comics prior to that, other than the collection that my brother had given me for one of my birthdays. He gave me some of his G.I. Joe collection. And I became a fan after that. So we saw Deadpool, and that's the other character that I've never liked. As a matter of fact, I liked him when he was more serious. And then he broke the fourth wall, and I just couldn't stomach it anymore. And every time I read it, I don't really like it. But I might start liking it because of the film, because I really, really liked the presentation that they did with Deadpool. It was such a well-thought-out movie, a good romance, comedy, adventure, and it was rated R, and it was justified, and I think it was a good decision. And they're selling a lot of tickets, man. We went to the 10:30 feature, and it filled in like it did for Star Wars. Like, it was full. There was like no empty seat in the house. And people seemed to really enjoy the film. I mean, people were walking out with smiles, and it seemed like a well-received film, which means that I think that there's going to be a sequel. Ryan Reynolds' sarcasm was really, really good. I liked it a lot. So, that's a lot of jibber-jabber. So let's get down to Mike M's weekly reads. And I'm going to cover 2 weeks because 1 week was pathetic. This is the week that I got back from travel, and then we went and spent some time in Boulder, so I didn't read much comics. But what I did read, I really liked. So this is the week of January 25th going to January 31st. And again, 5 is I love it. 4 is I really like it. 3 is I like it. 2 is did not like it. 1 is I hated it. And we had 10 books. 1 was Valiant. We had Marvel. We had 7. And DC, we had 2. And at the bottom, at a 3 out of 5, we had the latest volume of Detective Comics. It was number 3. It was like a certain part of, I think it was Icarus, Brian Buccioletto storyline. It was like part 4 of that. And I hadn't read like 3 in a long time, so I felt lost. But I didn't hate it. It was just one of those books that it was my fault for letting it slide so long and forgetting a lot of stuff. But, you know, it was all right. And Francis Manapul was on the art. So that was a 3 out of 5. Then we jump in the 4 out of 5s. And these are borderline 5 out of 5s because I have fallen in love with Marvel's Inhumans, Inhumans, and Charles Soule has got me I've always liked the Inhumans, like from the Jack Kirby Fantastic Four all the way to Amazing Adventures, and then when they relaunched it, Palmiotti and Quesada did the Marvel Knights. They had the Inhumans. Paul Jenkins did that series. It was fantastic, and I've kind of followed the Inhumans. I really like what they represent. I know what people are saying is they're trying to make them the X-Men or whatever, but they're not. And it deals with the Terrigenesis Mist. And I really like the fact that when you come of age, you go through the mist, and you don't know what powers you're going to get or what you're going to look like after you go through the mist. Well, since one of the major events, Black Bolt, you know, destroyed their place, and these pods, the mist was released, and it kind of made a lot of people that were or had the gene in them as an Inhuman to manifest their powers. You know, Miss Marvel was one of them, and there's a lot of others. But Charles Soule introduced a lot of new characters, and I don't like know them all, but I'm starting to really, really dig them. And I dug all of his stories, and the annual was fantastic. So I rated a 4 out of 5 Inhuman 11 through 14 in annual number 1. And also Inhumans
Adelin Rising, number 1 through 3, which was an Elseworlds. And that one had a really, really good ending, which I'll talk about in the next part. So I was really, really, really happy with the Inhumans. And we get to the 5 out of 5s, and there was a couple that I really enjoyed. Magnus Robot Fighter, which I'm reading for Valiant Versus. It was Volume 1. Actually, it's Volume 1 of the Valiant. Not VEI, but the old Valiant. And I really liked it because it seemed to... I've read this before, you know. This is, I think, my third read of it. But there's a lot I forgot, and I was really glad that I had just read Magnus the Gold Key, number 1, because this one, from what I can tell, and I'd sure like to revisit all the Gold Key titles, is this one falls after that series. Like, it seems to, like, if you read number 1 of the Gold Key, this one seems to stem out of it. So it starts after, like, Magnus has got so much control of Northam, and has rescued a lot of the humans, and the robots are back in their, you know, kind of back to being what they are. And then there's another robot outbreak, and Magnus has to go after them. So it's a good reintroduction, and it kind of brings you back to the status quo of where he was. And what this seemed to be an origin story is of 1A. And that's the robot that raised him, and I really dug it, really, really dug it. So I gave that a 5 out of 5, which means I loved it, and I think I like the Gold Key slightly better, though. It was also a 5 out of 5. Detective Comics number 27 Special Edition. So if you know Detective Comics 27, first appearance of Batman. And what this was is a reprint of Detective 27 plus a tribute to Detective 7 written by Brian Meltzer. And it was awesome. Like, I fucking love this thing. And then it had a Scott Snyder backup, which to me is very pertinent in what we're seeing with this Mr. Bloom story arc. So I thoroughly love this book, and it was a freebie. It was a freebie, and you get a lot in this book. It is amazing piece of work, and it was all for free. So it was celebrating Batman's 75th, I believe. So that's what that was for the week of 125 to 131. And then we jump to February 1st through February 7th. And we'll start at the bottom. We had 27 books. One was from No Brow, which I never heard of. This was a spur-of-the-moment purchase. A very retro feel. I bought it off the shelf. It doesn't even look like a full-size comic. It's not even full-size. It looks like a... I don't know. It's about an inch short on the top and maybe an inch wider on the bottom, on the lengthwise. So that was one from No Brow. We had 2 from Marvel and 24 from DC. So yeah, you'll see a trend of a lot of DC, and there's a reason you're going to see a lot of the DC that you see. It's for an upcoming podcast that I'm doing, so I want to get caught up on a lot of books. So there's a method to the madness. I think for the next few weeks you're going to see a lot of DC books, and that's why. So starting, there was a 2 out of 5, and I don't usually give a 2 out of 5, but it was for Batgirl Endgame. You know, we talked about Batgirl recently. The art was really nice. It was a guest artist, and it was an Endgame tie-in, which is where the Joker released that virus, and everybody was kind of like going Walking Dead Joker-ish, more like the Cross Joker-ish. Crazy in Gotham. And this was a silent issue between Batgirl and a girl, and it was really Batgirl rescuing a girl, and it was that, and it was just, that's all it was, and it was a silent issue. There was no content, no substance,
and yeah, it looked pretty, but I think the silent issues that I've read, they've hit some kind of emotional tone, and this seemed kind of like a half-ass money grab to me. It's like, let's just draw some pretty pictures and tell a half-ass story that has not really a lot of content, and put it out there because we know that Endgame is popular and it will sell. But I didn't really dig it. And I'm not angry at the artist. I'm more angry at the writers for doing such a half-assed job with what I think is a great event. I had to drink some Diet Pepsi there. It's getting thirsty. So,
next we have 3 out of 5s. We have Batgirl 43 through 48. And what can I say about Batgirl is a 3 out of 5 is I like it. And that's pretty much where I really feel about Batgirl. It's an enjoyable read. It reads like an Archie comic. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's good, but the villains are hokey. I like the roommate, Frankie. There's a lot of diversity in the book. There's a gay couple getting married. There's all kinds of other stuff. She's dating Lucius Fox's son, who's kind of put away the Batwing mantle, which I really dug Palmiotti and Gray's Batwing. Even the first part of Batwing where it was more set in Africa, I thought it was a really good book. And I don't care for the direction or the dating thing. It feels like an episode of Supergirl, but it just doesn't feel right or natural. It seems forced. Everything seems forced in this book, even the diversity to me. Some people are loving it. But as you could see, the sales have dropped 60% from Gail Simone's run to the current run. So while they made a vocal minority happy, a lot of people are not buying the book. I'm still buying it. I'll continue to buy it. And I think it's $49. I read already, but I have to check what 49 was. But it ended on a fairly good. The last story arc I really like because there was this villain who's raiding her dreams, and that villain is making her forget. Like she's being absent-minded, and she's got a photographic memory, and she's losing it. And I'm really enjoying that part of the story arc. I want to see where that's going. And when they threw in the twist of who it was, it really interests me. It just felt awkward on who it was because she let this guy who was a friend in middle school come into the apartment of hers and Frankie even before she consulted Frankie. It was like an afterthought. And if you know right now, they're both kind of superheroes, even Frankie is. And it's just a weird situation. And then we got Detective Comics 34, 37 through 40, and Annual Number 3. What could I say? This is the end of the Buccellato Francis Manapul run. And I thought it started off well, but it was just entertaining. It wasn't really, I'm not going to remember any of this stuff, other than maybe I wasn't too favorable of it. But I will say that Detective has picked up as of late. I'm really getting into it quite a bit. But there was a writing change. We'll talk about that in a future episode. Matter of fact, we get into Detective Comics 35 and 36. And I'm going to pull up in my database 35 and 36 because for me it got better. I want to see... Oh, yeah, 35 and 36 were really good. It was a guest team of Ben Percy and Jean-Paul Leon, and it was a two-part story arc called Terminal, and it was really good. That's why I rated it a 4 out of 5, so we, just went into two issues, a two-part story, and I absolutely loved it. It's about a plane coming in with a virus and infecting a whole terminal, and Batman has to rescue the day. And this guy has the guy who's starting the virus, the outbreak, is the guy that has the serum in his body. So it was a really good story arc. Again, that was Terminal Part 1 and 2, written by Ben Percy and John Paul Leon. I'm glad I looked it up because that was a good team right there. I'd like to see more detective stories with them. The art was snap on. It was awesome. And then we get to Batman 36 through 39. I'm really enjoying this, but really enjoying it like off and on. It's not like a I love it. There's things I love and I like it, and it kind of balances out somewhere in between a 4 out of 5. And, you know, this is Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, and it has to do with Mr. Bloom. What I'm liking is I'm liking the Bruce stuff a lot. I'm liking the Commissioner Gordon stuff a lot. I'm not crazy about Mr. Bloom. I really, this character has not grown on me at any level yet. But there's some moments of writing magic that keep this book up there for me. So that's Batman 36 through 39. And then we get into Marvel, which has the final two parts of Inhumans, Adalyn Rising. And what I loved about this is if you look at this miniseries, which was a Secret Wars series, it ended in a cycle. Like the thing was repetitive. It started off like Medusa and Black Bolt had these rival the Black Bolt had the Rebels Alliance, if you will, and Medusa was kind of working for Doom, so she was kind of like the Empire. But it has the love element. These characters love each other so much. And one thing I liked about it is when they were reunited, and Black Bolt ends up convincing Medusa that, you know, Doom is wrong, and things are copacetic, and, you know, they got to work towards defeating Doom and helping the people with the underground. And, you know, there's the Thors in there, the military police and everything, and all this war going on between the Inhumans, and I really dug it. But what I really liked is the ending really stuck the landing for me, because it's almost like if Doom was God, he just as things started to not turn in his favor, he just restarted everything again, just by like snapping his fingers. Except this time he inverted the roles, and he made Black Bolt the dark side and Medusa the Rebel Alliance. And I just thought it was like genius. And I've always loved the fact of, you know, in this one, it's interesting too, because Black Bolt can't say a word. His power's in his voice.
He could take down mountains just by a whisper. And in this one, he could talk, and you saw stuff. And it just, oh, man, I just love. They had Karnak. I love Karnak. That's the other thing I forgot to talk about Inhuman, is that they brought, when they had killed off Karnak, I like absolutely hated that storyline. It wasn't because it was badly told, it just because Karnak is so awesome. Like, I just love him. I wonder what's going on with his book. It's like, I ordered his book's not like coming out. It launched with all the other books. It's Warren Ellis, but I don't know what's going on with that. I gotta look that up. Because I haven't seen, I think I have Karnak number 2, and then I haven't seen one after that. Either that or I'm just missing the order, or it's not in the bundle for some reason, which would really piss me off. I'd have to tell DCBS, why isn't this book in the bundle where you put all the other stuff in the bundle? I like the bundle. You just click it. It makes it easy. I wish they would do that for Star Wars. I wish they'd make a Star Wars bundle. I know it's only 4 titles, but it would be easy just to say, yeah, I want all the Star Wars books. Click, boom. Instead of having to find it, you know, there's Chewbacca, there's C-3PO, and they go to the S's and find Star Wars, and, oh, there's Poe, and just rather have, like, a bundle box and just click it, and then that 50% would even give me more incentive to click just the bundle. But, what else?
So we talked about the Inhumans. But anyway, Karnak, not the Inhumans Rising, but the Inhuman title, it explained how Karnak came back from death. And that was fucking awesome. I really dug that how that Charles Soule brought Karnak back. I liked the way he did. So that's enough Inhumans. So now, out of the 4 out of 5s, we're gonna get into the 5 out of 5s, and a lot of retro shit, man. So I for those of you that don't just listen to Mike M's Weekly Reads, I have several other podcasts. I do Geek Brunch Retrocast, Geek Brunch, DC Noise, Valiant Podcast, and one that's up and coming, and then Valiant Versus. So I have quite a lot of podcasts going on right now, and they're all coming out mostly every other week, unless something happens, especially after January. January and December took a lot of time off. But I do a lot of retro, and these books that are 5 out of 5 were from the retro picks. I read Birds of Prey, first series, 88 and 89. And this one had Savant, and he was being tortured by the Calculator and his men, who was the Spider, and I can't remember the other guy, Hellhound. So he's got the ability to train dogs. But he was getting, you know, Savant is like kind of like a Birds of Prey with Mr. Creopte, and they were villains for them, but Barbara Gordon turned them around, and they kind of work as agents for Barbara now. And really good story arc is she knows that she took out the satellites, the Calculator, and the Calculator's going after her people now. So you got that thread. And then you had an amazing thread where Helena, you know, the Huntress, she takes over her family again, the Bernatellis, or she takes over the Mafia, and they want to place her in. So, and she also, in order to do that, she has to, Black Canary has to go to Star City and team up with Green Arrow to take off another part of the Mafia. And that love story between Ollie and, it's heartbreaking because they belong together, but it still shows that Canary loves Ollie. Like, Dinah, she loves Ollie, like, with all her heart. And it just hurts what he did to her, that he cheated on her. And it's, like, a heartbreaking, but every time she looks at him, she says, I miss him so much. And you just feel the love, you know? You feel the love. Amazing story. And then you have a scene with Barbara. There's so much density in this story. Gail Simone's a master. She's starting to get feeling in her feet again at this point in time. She's able to wiggle her toes. She's talking to her father. She has a thing with her father that's really emotional. It's fucking amazing. The Birds of Prey go shopping together. You get a lot of funny shit that goes on there about the various Black Canary costumes and how she sees them displayed in the toy store, and she buys all the Justice League International Birds of Prey figurines because she hates that outfit so much. But and she goes, yeah, the ones with the leg stockings, we sold out of those on day one. So yeah, it was great. But then you get the father-daughter thing, and she reveals to her father, yeah, I'm Oracle, and he was, like, shocked, and then she goes, Dad, but I was also Batgirl, and he goes, but I've known that for a long time. I just didn't know you were doing this Oracle stuff, but it was really good, really emotional, so damn good. 5 out of 5, I love it. I will remember these books. Man, they were just so good. And then we get into Batman Gotham Knights number 45. I can't say enough about this book. This book is amazing. It's a Bat Family book, and this has to do with like a child service investigator going after Bruce for his negligence in getting Jason Todd killed, who was underneath him, you know, like an adopted son, and does a great little like story
with Man-Bat and his son and his family that correlates with this story. It's like a father and son story. Oh, it's so good. And you ought to see the interviews. They're so powerful. The investigator interviewing Dick Grayson. He's interviewing Tim Drake. So awesome. And then he interviews Alfred, and Alfred's like, "You motherfucker! You come into my house!" And, you know, he loves Bruce. He's his, it's like, that's his, you know, son. And this guy's trying to do something bad to him, and he's going to kick his ass. So good. So much emotion. You can see I even get emotional talking about it because it's so fucking amazing. It has a Bryant Bolan cover with Man-Bat on it. It's brilliant. And then we get to Batman 40. This is the end game. And this end game paid off. It paid off in spades for me. This was a good ending. The dialogue between Batman and Joker, the end result, Scott Snyder knows how to end a series that starts off good, maybe might meander a little bit, but he knows how to punch you in the balls and wake you up again and say, this is why I'm fucking writing Batman. This is why this DC book is number one on the charts. You know, he can put words together that just, you know, you might say, "Oh, this story I'm not liking," and then he just punches you in the face with these brilliant words, and you fall in love with it all over again. So, yeah, that was Batman number 40. So that ends this series. There was a total of 27 comics. We had 4 books in the 5 out of 5 that week. And the previous, we had 2. So it's a good, some really, really good books. I guess the only thing that kind of was a little bit of a disappointment was Batgirl Endgame. But other than that, I had a good time. And I hope you did in listening to this episode. And I will talk to you again very, very, very soon. And I hope the volume's good on this, because I was talking through what I thought was my headset, but it's set up for the laptop speakers. So we'll see how the sound of it comes out. I hope it's good. It looks like I'm not going to have to levelate it, because its volume is better than my actual headset. So having said that, I hope this sounds okay, and please send feedback or retweet or help the podcast out. Get the word out that you enjoy this podcast. On Twitter, I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Facebook page is Geek Brunch Podcast. Send email to mike@comicbooknoise.com and let me know what you think about any of the topics I talked about. And we will see you next week. And this is also located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Have a good one, and peace.